Blog Talk Radio.
To Big Brother House Guests, Survivor Castaways, and the Amazing Racer Racers. That's right, here at the Rad Reality Show Network, and we have so many other guests. Well, welcome to the show tonight, our Thursday night Survivor show.
If you guys have a question on Survivor, you guys can call in 347-237-5506. Let's have a great show, guys.
Welcome, Survivor fans. Cherry Garcia here. And first, I want to thank you for joining us and supporting us here on the Rad Reality Show Network. We appreciate it. Secondly, tonight is March 19th, 2015, which sounds like just any old day in March, but it's not. Today and tomorrow are very special days in March, and it doesn't even have anything at all to do with basketball. Today happens to be the last day of winter, 2015. Yes, I didn't think it was ever going to end. And tomorrow is the first day of spring. I didn't think it was ever going to get here. Spring arrives in 20 hours, 43 minutes, and 25 seconds. And I'm so glad to say that. So just wanted to let everyone know it's finally here. I hope everyone has a great spring. So we're getting ready to start the Mike on the Mic show with Big Mike Albright to recap Survivor Worlds Apart. And tonight he's bringing on a wonderful special guest. Mr. Dale Wentworth from Survivor San Juan del Sur will be joining us tonight. And boy, do we have a lot to cover after that two-hour marathon last night, a merge or a switch up, and lots that went on last night. So let's say a quick hi to my partner in crime and the other co-host on tonight's show, Mr. Paul from Minnesota, and then we'll get our host up here with us and get this party started. Paul, what's going on up in Minnesota?
Well, hi, Cherry. Hi, everyone. Yes, I am so glad that this is the last day of winter for the Northern Hemisphere. Last day of summer for the Southern Hemisphere, so feel badly for those people. They're heading into fall now. But, I wanted to say to everyone that might be hearing this that we had a little switch up on the link for tonight's show. So if you're hearing this, go check out the most recent link and pass the word.
Yes, thank you so much, Paul. I did post it on the group page, the main page, my Facebook page, Twitter. It's on previously on Survivors. So we're trying to get the word out as quickly as possible that there is a new link for tonight's show. And hopefully everyone has seen the information that's out there. So hopefully everybody knows how to get here tonight. So let's play his intro and get our host up here with us. Here we go.
They have volunteered to be marooned for 39 days. This is their story. This is Survivor.
Superfan, Big Mike. Big Mike, you're up.
Big Mike.
Welcome to Mike on the Mic, our fourth week, looking at episodes 4 and 5 of Survivor Worlds Apart. And what a exciting episode, two episodes crammed together, so much information, so much going on. And I can't wait to dive into all the stuff that we saw on TV and talk to our special guests. How are you guys doing tonight?
I'm doing well, Big Mike. I do have a question about our special guest. Do you know the area code or what time they'll be calling in?
I asked Dale to call in about 10 after, and he's from Washington, so I'm not
okay.
I've been watching Jeopardy a lot this week, watching my buddy. I'm not sure what the area code is.
All right. The other reminder I want to tell people is to join us on the air on your phone, if you would press the 1, that would give us the indicator that you'd want to come on air, and we might have him up already. We'll find out here. I'll be heading out, and you can talk with Cherry. So,
well, it was great, Cherry, hearing about the first day of spring and the last day of winter. I know in Ohio our temperatures fluctuate a lot, and I'm really to see old man winter go to sleep and not come back until November. We've
Amen.
Not had as much snow as some parts of the country here, but we've had a lot of cold days, and we had 70 degrees on Monday and 40 the rest of the week, and I cannot wait. I don't like summer. Spring's okay, but I'm looking forward to both at this point. For
yeah,
sure.
I do better with spring and summer than I do winter. I just don't like the really cold weather at all. That's the one season that I just don't do well with. So I'm certainly glad to see winter go away. I do well with the other three seasons. I'm just not a good winter girl.
Yeah, winter is definitely, you know, summer as bad as it can be. I don't know. Fall's my favorite, but definitely winter's not in the top for sure. So it's great it's going away. And we've got a lot to talk about. So I want to make sure several people have told me they're going to be jumping on. I know there'll be Dale's should be calling in any second.
We do have your guest.
But, all right. Well, if Dale's ready, let's get Dale on up.
Let's bring him on. Here we go. Dale,
hey,
Walker,
Mike,
thank
are
you
so there?
Much for bringing on.
We're here.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
It's great to talk to you, Dale. And I don't know, you probably didn't follow our podcast for your season, but you were, like I told you, at your finale. You and Kelly were my favorite throughout the season, so it's great to have you on here to talk about the first cast member from your season to talk about, you know, the season after. So we appreciate you being here.
I wish we could have lasted longer so you can enjoy this more, but sometimes the game plays you instead of you being able to play the game. So, stuff happens sometimes. So that's the way it turned out.
I don't know if I got a chance to mention this to you out in L.A., that one of the most interesting experiences is John and Jacqueline were just like they were on TV to me, like, you know, bubbly and crazy. And John upstairs, when I was getting something out of my room, asked me if I liked his gameplay, and I said the one thing I didn't like that you guys did was when you guys took out Kelly and Dale. And that I never got to tell you that, I don't think, but John appreciated that we liked his gameplay, but that was the one thing I disliked the most. So I just wanted to let you know that.
Yeah, and that's one that, you know, when you talk it over and that sort of stuff, and I got a lot of grief throughout everything because my blow-up with over the Rice Gate wasn't that big a deal, and that's what got Kelly voted out. But in reality, John and Missy were tight from day one, and once the swap happened,
there was absolutely nothing that Kelly and I could have done to prevent it. I mean, we got together. It was kind of funny because as soon as the swap happened, we got back to Cuyahoga Beach, and Kelly and I went one direction. John and Jacqueline went the other direction. Missing Baylor went one direction. Keith was sitting there twiddling his thumbs, chewing on a twig at the fire. Because with our loved ones, we could talk. And Kelly goes, did you bring any friends? Nope. Did I bring any friends? Nope. Okay, we're going out 5 and 6. And that was it. And the question was Kelly going to go before I or what? So, but, you know, that's the game of Survivor at its best, I guess. Or worst, depends on your point of view.
Well, we weren't blaming the connection. Definitely for you guys, there was nothing much you could do. But I told John that's the one critique of his game I didn't like it. But I understand that he had that connection to Missy pretty quick. What's it like, you know, watching this season? Do you remember, and a follow-up would be, do you remember any of these folks from your casting process for your season?
So Kim, I remember her.
Okay.
Because she was supposed to be on our tribe. She was supposed to be on San Juan. And, but I've got acquainted with some of the people, Dan and Mike, I've been in touch with. Dan, I made a Super Bowl bet with because he's from Boston. And Mike, I really like Mike. There's a couple of people I did a cast assessment on, and Dan and Mike were up there. I really like the blue-collar tribe just because I think the blue-collar is a great mix between white-collar and no-collar because they have to work with each of them. So if I had to take a choice, my pre-show favorite or pre-season favorite was somebody from blue. But now, you know, there's another voice out there that's starting to be heard from that I'm really starting to like him. So,
okay. Whose voice is that? Who's the?
That's Tyler. Tyler is playing one heck of a game, in my opinion. He's not making waves for a white collar guy. He's just kind of laying back. He's taking favors in. Carolyn, she told
showing
him
the idol,
idol, and it stopped right there. Instead of running to everybody and go, so and so's got an idol, which would have been an automatic boot. He put it away in his pocket and saved it for another day. Just on the tribe last night, he was talking, I can't remember the girl he was talking to, but it was like, okay, take me your, where he made the statement, give me your wounded or your poor and your...
Your huddled survivors,
Survivor, and you'll come to my tribe. So he's taking the cast off from the other ways, the other tribes and alliances, and bring them into his own. And he is playing... Mm-hmm. to go into the merge with a really strong game. And it's, I mean, he's subtle. His pregame stuff, his pregame video and violence stuff didn't impress me that much. But now he's impressing me.
Did you get to interact with him at all? He's the other one I got to briefly meet at your finale, the after party. He was there with Max.
Did
you happen to know that?
I didn't see him at the after party, no.
Okay.
So
I didn't talk to him much.
Yeah, I didn't get to talk to him very much at the after party or any of the other guys. I spent more time talking to a couple of girls from The Amazing Race. There was,
cool to see them, yeah.
Yes, it was. The cyclist from New York, which being some of the right bikes we have in common, and the scientist girls, the initial winners of The Amazing Race. I got to meet those at the after party.
Well, cool. White collar and red collar, anyone you kind of connecting with besides, you mentioned Tyler there, anyone? Now, those no collars are kind of an eclectic bunch. Did you kind of like more, maybe less than, or somebody a little bit more than the rest, or?
Joe has got Haley and Jen pretty much locked up. You know, they've got that alliance of three, that's going to be tough. It's going to be interesting to see how that develops. After the tribe swap, man, I feel sorry for the red tribe. I can't remember their name last night.
The Nagarote, I think, yeah.
Yes. When it comes to challenges, they got an uphill battle, and I think as long as the blue tribe doesn't self-destruct from within, there's going to be a majority of the blue tribe that's going to, of the new blue tribe, make it into the merge, because physically, the Nagarote or whatever, they're weak. I mean, it's Tyler or Joe and Will, I think, and the girls.
I think it's just it was just Will and Max when they switched, so they're down to their only guy left now is
right.
Will. We don't want to put the cart before the horse, but
yeah. And if you look at the blue tribe, They've got some horses over there. They've got
Rodney, guys, yeah.
They've got Mike, Joaquin, even Dan shown himself in challenges and that sort of stuff. So they've got four very strong players. Tyler's over there.
I mean,
Sierra's over there. I mean, they've got some. Did Sierra make it over there? Yeah. So
She's the one lady that made it to that group.
Yeah. So I know Kelly's with the Red Tribe. She's played strong and that sort of stuff. But, man, you got those four big guys, and I think they can do some damage when they get into the challenge portion of things.
I don't really want to get to the Tribal Council quite yet because we do try to, you know, recap through the show for the second episode. But I'm just saying it was crazy, though, what you're mentioning, all the guys, and then they take out one of their two guys. And, you know, I think Will's been one of the worst challenge performers I've seen as a fan, so I was just surprised with, you know, their decision to make. But I think, well, let's jump into the first episode first. And Paul and Sherry, if you have any questions, feel free to jump in.
Thanks.
Don't want to just talk the whole time, but
that's okay.
What are your
opinions
going transitioning from episode 3 to 4? We get to the we're the no collar camp, and we're, you know, Will's trying to assess his position with the tribe, and you know, Haley's letting it out that why Will got votes, and you know, Will, I think, still felt alienated even with her trying to explain it.
But for me, Will handled that a lot better. I mean, he handled votes the way you should. You know, he was surprised at the votes, but he came back. He goes, hey, great, that's yesterday. Let's move forward from today, kind of. You know, he just took it in stride. He goes, eventually, if you're in Survivor, you're going to get votes at Tribal Council. But I didn't get voted out. You know, and he just kind of took them, okay, this is why, okay. So, and he seemed to move past it. Instead of blowing up and kicking things around camp like a lot of people did.
For sure. I think he handled it well, and but I think he has to know, or he probably would have known where his position was. So, you know, I'm not sure going along with them being the fourth man in a four-person group, but
Will's setting himself up that if he can survive, he could ride a long way. Final five, just by being a non-threatening person.
For sure, I totally agree with you. So that's the beginning. We had the no collar. We had a lot going on before the first commercial break. I think I counted it went 10 minutes before the intro, and that usually runs like a minute and a half, 2 minutes. So this was from a timing perspective for people trying to watch the show or, you know, rewatch it on CBS.com or, you know, if you DVR'd it, there was 10 minutes full of show before we even got to a commercial. So I thought that was very atypical for, you know, what I've seen on the show.
It seemed like they wanted to get the head injury in it right out of the way and set the whole show up around Kelly's getting hurt. Because didn't they go the whole way? They
went right through that injury, and then they cut to commercial and left us in the lurch.
Yeah, they had very little camp life after the vote, and they went right to the challenge. I mean, they were within a challenge within 2 minutes, and
that's
then they went
not
into
very
Kelly's
normal.
Injury. No, it isn't.
We know Mitzi got really injured. Were there other, you know, smaller injuries along the way that we didn't really get to see on your season? Because I don't remember besides her, you know, real bad injury where she had to, you know, have that cast on. I didn't recall. Were there anything we didn't see or any, you know, injuries along the way?
Nothing. I mean, dents and dings and scrapes and scars and that sort of stuff. Hers is the only one that required medical. And while I was there, I mean, you can't do it without getting torn up, obviously. But I think Mrs. was the only one that required Dr. Ben to come out and give it a check over.
It's neat the transition from all the different doctors. Now Dr. Ben, and I remember there was a lady that was on for, I can't remember her name, from some of the Samoa seasons with Russell Knows. It's just it's interesting with this show that lasts so long, the transitions between all the staff. It's amazing. And what I found interesting was Jeff was warning the cast so much about, you know, be careful. And it was a lot of not showing them directly in these audio cuts. And I was wondering if it was like in one world where I'm going to have a moment where I can't think of the name, but there was an injury and it looked like a voice over there too. So I hope that wasn't spliced in, but it looked kind of interesting just from the being somebody that watches the editing pretty hard. You know, Jeff's
yes.
warning Will, he's warning Dan, so I hope that was how it was presented.
When you saw the way, from watching it, when you saw some of those platforms come falling down, because
mm-hmm.
Some of them came falling down, it's some pretty good clips, and there were some people bounced off bodies and shoulders even before Kelly got bonked across the head. And
yeah. They were falling really hard.
Mm-hmm.
They were specifically, the cameras were showing those platforms hitting the ground extremely hard, and they were focusing, the cameras were focusing on how hard those platforms were falling before, you know, she got hit in the head. So
I think they really wanted
us to see how hard they were hitting.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff is the ultimate ringleader.
Yeah.
Oh.
Paul?
Sorry, Mike.
I was wanting to comment about that challenge, and my opinion is I feel like production messed up on that. They could have very easily have made it a requirement that the teams had to lower the platform to the ground after they got it to the top, and that would have been fair for everybody because that was just too dangerous.
Yeah, and they're blindfolded. That thing, who knows how much that's got to weigh. They're tired from doing that repeatedly. They're disoriented with the blindfolds. One thing I was curious about, I had asked a question previously on Survivor, how would they do a challenge like that with Nina? Because I was really worried if she was the caller or if she was blindfolded. I thought that would be really challenging. And, the production can kind of move challenges around a little bit. I wondered if they were waiting for Nina not to be there to run that challenge, because what do you guys think? Do you think she could have done that challenge? I think she could have tried. I just think that would have been really tough. She might have had to have been where, you know, Dan and Joaquin were just standing there waiting to crank the rope.
It depends on which, let's see, did the red caller, they didn't have to sit, or no caller, they didn't have to sit anybody out, did they?
I don't think so. They were down, they would have been down, so if they had knocked out four, they all would have had to play, so she probably would have been on the side, like, I think, was it Joe maybe that, yeah.
I think she could very easily have been the caller. That would have probably been what they would have had her do. I also made note of the fact that there was one male caller and two females, and the male caller could be, you can differentiate much easier his voice, and I think that's what helped them.
And Carolyn's? Yeah.
And I think that's what helped them do so well. What do you think?
Yeah, that's true. And
that's
might
a good
have been
observation.
Part of their, that might have been their pick, part of their planning and why they picked Joe to be up there.
And the part of that's Joe was a good caller and he was a guy. And I think the groups that were out there just worked. Haley and Jen worked together well, probably better than Max and Shireen.
See,
was
yeah,
Max
we also
guy
have
on
a
the
caller.
Okay.
I don't want to interrupt again, but we do have a caller. One of your friends is on the switchboard. I don't know if you want to take callers now or wait or how you want to do that.
Do they have a question for Dale? Sure.
Okay. We have Tony up on the line with us. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Cherry.
How are you, hon?
I'm great. How are you all?
Wonderful. You're on with Big Mike and Dale Wentworth from Survivor San Juan del Sur.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Dale.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, Tony. Jinx. What kind of questions do you have for Dale, or what's your opinion of the episode, the episodes?
Of course, I was disappointed to see Lindsay go because I always love the strong women. I'm just a big fan of strong women. That's just my thing. But I will say, I had some bad things to say about Max, but I take it all back now because I was very impressed with how he went out with honesty and integrity and respect. He even said, I have even more respect for the game of Survivor now. So kudos to him.
I would echo that. I had a more positive interactions, I think, over the years with Max, so I was pulling for him. But it was tough seeing a fellow huge fan, you know, not in a confessional talking about it, but you don't go around saying how many Survivor winners are Capricorns. I mean, I love the guy to death, but you just don't exhibit that super fandom and nerddom, because that, what bearing of the game does that have on who's a, I mean, is he saying he's a Capricorn, so he should win? And if he does, that's even probably worse gameplay, I think.
Right.
Well, yeah. And to some degree, if you're so immersed, and Max, give him credit, I mean, I'm a super fan of the show, I've seen all the seasons and that sort of stuff, but I have a hard time picking names out from season one. I can't name the seasons in order, let alone the birth dates and the astrological signs of players. And at some point, you are so immersed in the game that you go, I'm going to play the game exactly like season 15, episode 8, where this and this and this and this. But every season is so different due to the personalities. That's why it is so tough to replicate or to go into a game when somebody asks you, what's your strategy? And everybody asks me my strategy. I don't know. I've never met any of the other 17 people I'm going to play with.
Mm-hmm.
And your strategy is based on the other 17 yahoos you put on the island with. And
for sure,
the game moves so dang fast that you have to change your strategy minute by minute, just about. You know, the odd comment, we've all seen it. An odd comment here or there, and you get voted out. Or your alliance will shift. So,
and from talking to you, I thought it wasn't most, or I'd say like a third of your cast is probably pretty big fans or pretty well aware of the show, and maybe two-thirds weren't. Is that a fair assessment of the San Juan del Sur cast?
Yeah. There was probably 10 to 12 people on our season that if they'd watch more than two or three episodes, I'd be impressed. And,
wow.
And you can go down the voting list and see who was voted out. I mean, Nadia, she doesn't count because she hadn't seen it. But then you go Val, then Drew wasn't, Rocker, so-so, but then it went Kelly, Josh, Jeremy, and then Reed. You just went down the pecking list, and for five or six in a row, it was everybody who's ever watched a season. And
it's,
the final 10 or 11 was all non-Survivor fans.
They probably liked it. Jump in, Tony.
Yeah, Keith told me when I went to their viewing party when Wes got voted out. Keith told me that Wes was the big fan and had been trying since 2010, I think. And Keith had only seen like a few episodes. And I'm like, that's
what is shocking. I can't believe it. No.
What's that?
I'm flabbergasted that Keith never watched the show. I can't even believe it.
And it showed in some of his play. I mean, I'll give him all the props in the world. He made it so far deep in the game, he surprised the living daylights out of me. But his famous stick to the plan was one of those where the game changes
in the moment.
Single comment. And that completely submarine Reed, I mean, completely blew Reed out of the water. If Keith hadn't have made that, Reed would have went deep in the game.
For sure. And a game bot, you can, or a super fan, you can kind of gauge what they're going to do with these wild cards and no-collar people. They're just not going to – you have no idea, so you can't even – a good strategist could work through what the best move is, but if you don't even know the game, you won't know what the best move is, and you won't be making that move, though.
And that's what we ran into in San Juan del Sur, is trying to talk strategy with people who had no idea what strategy was. And you're saying, look, we got to think 5 weeks down. We got to think 6 weeks down. We got to do this. We got to play for the final eight. And they're just going, I need rice tomorrow. You go, no, you don't understand. This is a long game. So, but, you know.
One thing that would surprise me is there was such a big issue with food in the same location last time, and it's not really been an issue except the weird stuff that Mike's eating off the beach. But aside from that, we're not hearing about rice rationing and rice trading. And I wonder why that – do you have any idea why that would be the case? Or is it just different season? Maybe they gave them more?
They all got beans this year, didn't they? They all got a bag of rice.
So, yeah.
And they all got a bag of beans because that was the first challenge, was a deceiver truth. And some of them got a reduced bag or some of them didn't get the beans and that sort of stuff. But it makes you wonder if they got the same bag of rice, but they only have six people instead of nine. So that automatically
that could be the case too. Yeah.
So and it also just looking at the scenery, that place has received a lot of rain since San Juan del Sur. In the 3 or 4 weeks off, that beach was three times as green as what it was when we was there.
And when you guys taped, when did you tape your season?
Ours was the June, and those June, guys started the 1st
July.
Of August.
Yeah. Okay, well, that'd be a big difference down there for sure.
Yeah.
Do you have any other questions, Tony? You're just going to hang out, or do you have, what do you...
Well, if it's okay, I'll just hang out. My questions will pop into my head here and there.
For sure. I just didn't want to, if you had anything else. Okay. Well, we talked about it at the game break. Kelly gets injured, comes back. They stop the challenge, and they keep everyone blindfolded still, which, you know, that was pretty intense. Like, I'm going to take a look at your wound, but everyone stay blindfolded so they don't see where the stuff is. And she gets a quick patch up, and they go back at it again. And I think it really cost the Eskimeca tribe. They just couldn't pull through after that, and they lost. So
killed their momentum quite a bit.
For sure. And she didn't get pulled out, and I'm glad that, you know, Kelly's still in the game, and you saw how tough she was, and hopefully they get her a new buff. That'd be helpful.
She was bleeding quite a bit.
For her to gash that size, but, I mean, your head is a dangerous place to get an injury, but I'm glad she's okay.
That blood was so red it almost looked like it was not real. Like, she was bleeding a lot. I agree.
That's just what I was thinking.
Yeah. Six stitches is a good size hole.
Yeah.
So
I'm stitch free besides my wisdom teeth, so I'm not familiar with the sizes of stitches, but
I've had my share, and it takes a few to put six stitches in. So,
she said one for each of us.
Yeah.
That was cute. I appreciated her being in the moment. And the blue collars are a, you know, well-oiled machine.
Oh, geez. Rodney, when they got back, oh, my goodness. Rodney again. Rodney against Lindsay. I don't know if we're up to that point in the show yet or not there, Mike.
We can be for sure. Let's talk about those two because they are an intense matchup for sure.
Yeah. Poor Rodney.
I can't believe what Rodney's just – the statements he's making about women are going to alienate probably more than half the audience.
Being the only female on the panel –
please
took
us
offense.
How you feel.
Well, I certainly did take offense to how he was talking to her and some of the things he was saying. I mean, you just, and I certainly agreed with her in saying, you know, what kind of woman raises somebody to think like this and speak like this? I was just baffled at what he was saying, you know, that women need to hold themselves to a higher respect.
High standard.
What, you know, that means that you guys all get to go out and be hound dogs and women should just sit home and twiddle their thumbs and...
barefoot in the kitchen popping out kids or whatever Rodney's thinking. I don't know what he's thinking.
Right, you know.
Well, the bad thing is,
he's
kind of a hypocrite in one way because he can't go down to the club and be a hound dog unless he's got the women in different standards. And then he wants to save out for the higher standard woman when he gets married because that was his comment. One day when I get married, I'm going to marry the angel. Well, he likes to go out and party with his buddies and go after the lower standards. Well, you know,
if he's not careful, it might be like the amusement park. He might not be able to get in the club if he's not tall enough to ride the rides. I don't know.
He's going after her for tattoos. I go, now, wait a minute, dude. You're covered with tattoos, too. It doesn't matter where you get it. If you get a tattoo, you're great with tattoos. You're either for them or against them. So
they had two great quotes. Yeah, it was the Lindsay has face tattoos like Mike Tyson. And Lindsay piped back, if you were my son, I'd break your jaw. I mean...
yeah.
Lindsay going home, the worst part about that is we don't have Rodney and Lindsay fighting. I think they could do the race, maybe, Amazing Race.
good old
yeah.
Benson there. Then we get, and this was my favorite last time as well, then we get Rodney going off into his confessional and saying he's got to return to the three C's again, cool, calm, and collective. And they even hashtagged it.
He wanted to be a hothead. Yeah, he also wanted to toss to Tom Brady. I'm going into my Tom Brady mode. Now it's just like, give me a break, dude. I mean, whatever. If
he's a good character, but I can't stand New England. I mean, the Super Bowl was hard to watch because I didn't like either team, but I was rooting for the NFC West. But just that New England mentality that they're so amazing is, give me a break.
Yeah,
I really didn't want to see Lindsay go home. I wanted her to stay and put him in his place when he needed to be put in his place, you know, because nobody else seems to do it but her. And I really like Lindsay. And
I did too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I really didn't want to see her go. I was.
And I did reach out to Steve.
They were trying to keep that four vote alliance mm-hmm. going with Dan and Mike and Rodney, and they had to break up
yep.
Sierra and Lindsay and break up their vote and break up their alliance. And it might come back to haunt them now that the tribe swap happened, and now Joaquin and Rodney looks like they're parring up. But
the new bromance is tightening up there. We had Steve Helling from People Magazine on last season, and Sherry was asking me to reach out to him to get his opinion because he was really instrumental in, you know, getting Lindsay to through the casting process, kind of getting her foot in the door. And he was just really – I was going to relay the information. He was just really upset to see her go, but that's kind of – I did ask him that, Sherry, when I sent him a message this week. So he was
– Oh, good.
He was upset to see her go, but – he could see why it happened. So you get in those
big arguments, and it doesn't take much to get you voted out. And if you get in a big argument that it you raise your head above everybody else, and they take like a whack-a-mole, and whoever pops their head up the longest and the farthest is usually going to get hit in the head. That's why nobody likes to be a leader. It puts a target on you.
Mm-hmm. For sure. There were some more issues with the blue collar tribe, but I don't really want to get to that because that was kind of after the fourth episode. But there's tension. Okay. There was tension mounting on the white collar tribe. Right after that, we have Shireen, everyone's favorite person, just because she's so annoying, and she was getting in a fight with Joaquin after they were talking about if they had to, you know, kill the animals. And. And Shireen lets out that, yeah, she practiced before she came out on the island by killing a rabbit. And Joaquin had Joaquin's not one of my favorites, but he had a great confessional talking about how she's a sociopath or a serial killer. And that's like the beginning is by killing small animals. And he joked that she started with a mouse at 14 and a rabbit at 29. And, you know, no love lost between those two.
And I'll give her credit because at least she knew she was going on the show, and she went out and prepared mm-hmm. for the show. Unlike there's a lot of people who go out, and they know they're going on the show, and they don't even know how to start a fire if you gave them a blowtorch and a can of gas. So
yep.
I will give her props for going, sometimes they give us live animals, and we have to learn how to butcher it. So give her
yep.
credit for doing her homework. I mean,
for sure.
You kill it, it was practice. It's no different than practicing with a fire. She's practicing for Survivor. That takes dedication to the show. So I'll give her props for that.
That's awesome. That's a great part. And I'll give props to Joaquin, who I can't stand, for the great confessional talking about how that's great, but it's also the creepiness. It's the,
yeah.
You know, you've trained in that. It's like the Capricorn situation. Don't tell the other tribe that I killed a bunch of small animals. So, you know, what if they do run out of rice and beans? People might be, you know, worried about a literal knife in their back, not just a blindside. Who knows?
She says some weird stuff.
She is kind of goofy. I will grant you that. She kind of goes off on tangents to, yeah, she would be annoying to be around for a long period of time. And just from what we've seen on the show, I'll put it that way.
Yeah, but she's one of the ones I'm really looking forward to meet. But I think she's a nut and a character. I mean, I think she's a great TV, but I don't know about living on a tribe together. So.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Survivor is pretty good about putting nuts and characters on the show.
That's why you do all those personality tests, just so they know who to not put together, not who to put
that's
together.
That's true. Yeah. They don't want Vanilla Toast on the show. They want somebody that's going to go out there and stir things up, great stuff.
Did you have anyone on the show that you thought you would connect with and then didn't, and vice versa, that you didn't think you'd have any real connection with and you really bonded well with?
You know, on the surface, if you was to do a pregame assessment, I shouldn't have connected with Josh.
Mm-hmm.
Just, number one, there's an age difference.
Yep.
We're on complete opposite sides of the country. I mean, he's
yep.
downtown New York. I guess he grew up in Pennsylvania or something like that. But he's an off-Broadway gay Christian actor.
Yep.
And I'm a redneck farmer from the country in Eastern Washington State. So
yep.
there's not a lot of me's walking around New York, and I know there's very few of Josh's on the West Coast. So for two people out of character,
yep.
Josh and I, kind of clicked. We're both super fans to the show. So that was one that I would not have expected to tie up with that fast.
Okay, that's cool. Anyone
that
on the flip
cool.
side that you thought you might connect with that then you actually didn't? Because anyone else on the other side of that you were like, wow, I think I'd be kind of with them, and then you didn't as well as you thought?
I thought I would have been able to click with Wes a little bit quicker than what I did.
Okay.
But just due to the age difference, and he tied up with Alec and Baylor and
mm-hmm.
Jacqueline real quick, just due to the age. I mean, they're
okay.
what, almost 30 years younger than I am. So they automatically
yep.
had that click. Wes was slowly, right before the swap, the night before the swap, Wes and I we sat down probably for 2 hours and had a good conversation going about the game, about this and that, about his dad and all sorts of stuff. And
okay.
I was really starting to make some progress that, in fact, that's one thing when Keith came over on the swap, I was talking to him that, you know, Wes and I had this, we're doing this, and if we could have made the merge, I could have really worked with Wes quite a bit
mm-hmm.
more. But, you know.
Okay.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Yep.
For
sure. Then we move on to the immunity challenge, which was a unique challenge, and I think I heard, I don't know if it was this challenge or maybe one in the second episode that they were wanting to do in water but couldn't because of a tide situation. I'm not sure if I'm mixing up this episode or the next one. But
I think it was the next
one
they said that the tide was too
okay.
high to start
okay.
the next one or something like that, I think is what I heard or read.
Okay, well, that makes sense. It was one of these two, but this the ball challenge. With the maze and you gotta get the balls through.
Yeah.
Right.
I was really surprised at how Rodney had trouble with that because he seems pretty compact and quick and agile. He was getting all tangled up in his rope for sure.
And he lives near the coast, right? He lives on the East Coast. You would think he's been out in the ocean quite a bit.
Well, I would think so.
It was
clipping your belt to a rope and going through that. That was a challenge, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had to spin around the pole on the incline and then
yeah.
turn around it again.
I'm thinking, you know, if you're the first one to go, you know, you don't have much time to think about it. But if you're standing
yeah.
up there waiting, you ought to be staring down at that rope, planning ahead
yep.
how you're going through it, and I don't give, you know, any excuses to those people that started later for having trouble.
Yeah, because both
and
Rodney and Will got kind of mixed up on it and that sort of stuff.
And Probst had a great quote that, you know, Will struggles doing this challenge on water and in land. I'm like,
yeah,
I don't like Jeff chiming in a whole lot, but that was a nice jab.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Timely, too.
And Blue Collar, who had been dominating the challenges, surely didn't dominate this one. No Collar pulls in first. Haley gets their third ball. And then, you know, Max is making some crazy moves on that board, but he pulled through and got them their immunity too. So I was glad that it was interesting.
Okay.
I kind of wanted Blue Collar to finally go to tribal council. It's been kind of for them.
I did too. And I also made note, and not having ever played out there, but knowing that food is always an issue, No Collar came in first. They had chicken. White Collar had eggs, and Blue Collar did not have any food from that reward challenge. You think that came into play? I guess I'd be asking you that, Dale.
This early in the game, because like I say, it'd be interesting to find out just how big a bag of rice they got. That was the standard. And then, let's see, did Blue Collar to start with, they took the beans, didn't they? I think they did.
Yeah, they took the big bag, yeah.
Yeah, White Collar was the only one that didn't take it. They took the small bag. Yeah, they all got bags of beans because one was a big bag of beans, small bag of beans, depends on what you chose. So that is where I just remember that. Every tribe got rice and beans this year.
Yeah.
And they've already done a food reward only, which would be 6 days in,
mm-hmm.
We're on fourth episode, about nine.
Yeah.
7 days in, they've already done a food reward for them, and they're all getting rice and beans. So they really aren't doing the whole starvation thing like they've done in the past.
Whole different
Which
thing,
team was
for
it
sure.
that said that they did, I think it was beans in the morning and rice at night?
That was after the swap when the two got together, and I think that was a Blue Tribe. They did rice in the morning and beans at night. I think that was after the swap, the new one. Yeah, they had two meals a day. Yeah, that's living in a 5-star motel.
For sure. Missy would have loved it, all that food.
Yeah.
Missy probably would have been through that bag of beans already.
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they're eating a lot for... For past survivors, they're eating quite a bit.
So Blue Collar loses. They go back to camp, and we have a great setup for stuff in episode 5 when Dan's talking to Mike about what kind of a expert he is with the feminine creature, and Dan's telling Mike in episode 4. You got to listen like a guy, and you can listen like a girl. Guys try to solve problems. You know, girls try to empathize. And what's the panel's opinion? Is that a fair assessment? I mean, it's stereotypical, but does that sound like the guys and girls you know in your lives and yourselves?
Well, just speaking from minor bit experience, Dan's apology went up like a lead balloon because he never apologized to Sierra. He goes, I apologize for doing to you what you did to me, and you did it to me worse, so I was justified in doing mine. So all of a sudden the apology gets forgotten, and it's like we're getting an argument over what we did to each other.
Didn't let the big fat guy do the water challenge, and that equates to getting two votes and going to a revote situation. I don't think that's equate, though.
Then after he apologized to her, he goes back to camp, and he goes, the reason we did vote you out is because you suck at the challenges. And I go, now, wait a minute. You're trying to get her onto your or you're trying to get her into your alliance, and that's how you sweet-talk her into your alliance is not apologize and just tell her, he goes, I'm stabbing you in the back because you stabbed me first, payback, da-da-da-da, and now... You suck at challenges, and by the way, could you vote with us? I'm sorry, but that doesn't work.
So I don't think Dan practices what he preaches. That's what I
don't think so either.
Hey,
if that's him being
nice
and apologizing, I'd hate to see what he does on a bad day to somebody he really doesn't like and wants to backstab him. Because, I mean, that was, as you said, no apology. And, you know, that was his only task. He was sent out there with one mission, to go apologize to her so they could get her on their tribe. She's the swing vote. He's on a mission.
Yeah.
And
but
he has one thing to do, and that's apologize to her and get her to come over to their side. And he screws it up so royally.
Yeah.
It couldn't have been done any worse.
So well.
Yeah. They were trying to get... they're trying to get Sierra to come in to replace Kelly because Kelly went over the swap.
Yeah.
So they're trying to get Sierra back in there. And
but,
now it came back to doubly bite him because Rodney and Joaquin are starting to team up that took away the three blue-collar vote, the Dan,
right.
Mike, and Rodney. And now Rodney looks like he's getting in a bromance with Joaquin. And they're going to jump into a Sierra. So all of a sudden that failed apology is going to be
huge.
If the blue
amplified.
Doesn't start if it doesn't keep winning challenges, that could very well get Dan or Mike voted out real quick.
Yeah.
Now, I wouldn't complain
before
about
we
that.
Get too far, before we get too far away from this happening, one thing I know we didn't bring up in the first half, in the first episode, was props out to no meat-eating Jen, who walked away from when they were killing the chicken. And winner, winner, chicken dinner, she found the item.
Good for her.
That was
good
the big.
Her.
That was the big thing, for sure.
Yeah, and at one point, I was sitting there. I was making notes last night, and I go, "Man, you never give up food on Survivor." But you know, then I completely forgot about getting rice and beans and that sort of stuff. You never turn down a meal. Anything on the beach looks good. But she decided to go for a walk and, you know, skip a meal to find an idol. That's a good trade.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a decent trade.
That
and
was
she
the,
was
yeah,
so
big
cute
move.
When she found it. She was putting, putting a necklace on and smile, and she was so happy. She was a doll when she found it.
Yeah.
Now the thing will be, and I've talked about this before on the show, we'll see if she is able to keep her mouth shut about it. So many people
she'll tell Haley. I know she'll tell
find
Haley.
Idols, and they have to tell somebody. And I love the ones that can find an idol and keep it all to themselves.
Well, so far, for what we know, the only person that knows Carolyn has it is now on a different tribe is Tyler, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
that's the only person she told.
But are we done with that episode? I mean, they did have a tribal, the three-way tie, obviously.
The three-way tie. Well, we've been hopping around between episode 4 and 5 a little bit, but it's all, as long as we talk about it all during the course of the hour and a half, I think we're good. We have been bouncing around because the chickens, I think, happened after Lindsay got voted out from my notes, so that was
okay
in episode 5. But it's all good. That's the Lindsay had a good vote out. The only thing I wanted to mention was I thought it was Dan, but I went back and looked when I did my second watch tonight. The Lindsay vote, which I thought was Dan, was actually Mike. I thought that was interesting that sassy, you know, passive aggressive vote was not from Dan but from Mike.
Okay.
I'm trying to find it. I'm mixed up a little myself right now. But yeah, it was the Lindsay, and then Lindsay. You know, Kelly misspelled Lindsay, and I know Lindsay can either be EY or AY. She just took out the last vowel and just made it a Y, so that's a new way to spell Lindsay.
Yeah, I always think about the misspellings. And what are you going to do? Are you going to go up to somebody and say, I want to spell your name right. I mean, you're not.
Did you guys do that on day 1 or anything, Dale? Do you remember, did you guys, like, ask each other how to spell each other's names, or is that rude?
No, but
this
is one of those things, being how you happen to bring this up. Nadia and Natalie both had necklaces with their names on them. And, of course, you don't pay attention to it until you get to tribal council. And we're sitting at tribal council, and I knew who I was voting out, so while we're going through the voting process, I turned over to Natalie. I go, Natalie, did you bring your canteen? You want a drink of water? And she turns to talk to me and tell me no. And I look down and spell her damn name.
See what her name is.
Smart.
That's a smart way to do it.
I didn't want to be the person. Jeff pulled it up and goes, who's this? And I go, oh, that's Nadia. I didn't
want to. You don't want to be those Ralph Kaiser, Big Tom voters that are Stu Hawk and Mangle.
Spell the name, so. And that's the only thing, as I was walking up there, how to spell the name. And I was repeating the name over and over. So
well,
that's one way around it, I guess.
After, so Lindsay gets the boot, and this is this part of this huge 20-plus minute block of TV, like the first 10 minutes, where they go right from the end of them coming back to camp briefly, and Sierra's alienated, and then what do they go right to? A commercial, and then they come back, and everyone's on the beach, and the buff dropping happens.
I don't know. Let me just say, I know it was done fairly. Everybody chose, but what ended up happening, I just feel, especially as we see the challenge later on, I almost feel like they should do
pick
the girls and then the guys separately, so it doesn't get so terribly one-sided like that. It just, I don't know.
What well, do you the Yellow Tribes pick, not just the random draw. I think now random's more of the option, but in the old days, I think there was more picking that happened.
Yeah, it used to be the old schoolyard pick.
Yeah.
They would pick one person. They would go up and have one person from each tribe pick a stone or something like that, and you're the captains of your
yep.
new teams. And or however, then say, okay, now start picking tribe mates.
Somebody from
I mean,
the other tribe. Pick a guy from the other tribe, and then now you pick
seriously.
A girl from your tribe. Yeah.
And you have to draw that boy, girl, yeah.
The Eskameka, however it's pronounced, the blue tribe, six guys and Lindsay. I mean, that's just, I don't know. I have
or Sierra.
I have
yeah,
problem.
Yeah. And that's a tough combination there.
Yeah.
Because Nagarose
the
then gets Will, Haley, Jen. I can't even read my handwriting, Carolyn, Shereen.
Max, Will,
yeah.
and Joe are the three guys, and the rest are the girls.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The Carolyn and Shereen. Yeah, it's the physical challenge portion is so overwhelmingly in favor of the blue tribe now. It's going to be some of the challenges better start developing a lot of puzzles to bring it back to where it's fair.
And I was surprised they didn't get rid of. I know they're both equally annoying. I guess Max maybe pushed it to the farther envelope, but I really think they should have gotten rid of Shereen and kept Max
yeah.
so they have a chance physically, because we're at five people been booted. I would assume merge would be at like 12, maybe 11. So they would have needed that physical strength. Will's not going to be – he could be an anchor in a race, but he's just an anchor. You throw him over the side of the boat. I don't see him being a huge asset.
I think they might have went after Max because there was a comment made that, watch Shereen, she does everything that Max tells her. Watch Shereen, she does everything that Max tells her. So cut
yeah.
the head off the snake. That was kind of so they
yep.
went after Max because he was kind of leading Shereen around a little bit, and they say let's give her without direction. And now she's a complete outcast. You know, you look at her face when the vote happened; it was a complete shocker.
Yeah. I think they cut their nose to spite their own face, though. And they're going to hurt her, but in the process, decimate it themselves, possibly.
Well, like I say, they didn't expect Carolyn to jump ship, but now Carolyn is on the outcast, or she's on low numbers, because
yep.
you've got four no-callers over there. And if they
Kelly
keep losing,
too, they're both
probably
kind of in an awkward position.
Yeah, and now Shereen and Kellen. Carolyn both don't have really friends because she jumped ship, and if they go through two more votes, you automatically assume the four no-callers are going to stick together to get to the merge.
Yeah.
Because that's a block of four that you can take into the merge. And that's,
the good thing is she's pocketing that idol, so if she got
true.
To that scenario, hopefully she'd be smart enough to play it for herself.
Yep, that's true, and depends on the next two votes. You know, if she go, okay, we need to get, if Shereen's already got, people don't like her, because, and she's supposed to go, then that automatically says Carolyn doesn't have to play the idol for two votes if that's how the immunity goes, if they happen to lose the next
yep.
vote.
Well,
for sure.
I think one of the, again, comical moments that I took note of was when they first got back and Jen makes a comment about Shereen. She's only been here 12 hours, and I already want her to just shut up.
Yeah.
Guys,
I know
he
how
even talks
works.
About going out to poop. You know, it was like And this is right after the merge with people she's never even spoke to before, you know. And she's sitting there talking about going out to poop. And I just felt like, you know, really? I mean, you've never even talked to these people before today, and you've got to share, like, your intimate business with them? It just seems so odd.
Yeah, it's like your buddies, like you grew up with or something. That's somebody you've known for, what, 11, 12 days? I wouldn't be talking about that unless somebody else wanted to talk to me about it. Yeah. Well, coupled with that, you've got Shireen discussing her bowel movements and trying to make it happen. But then Max comes back with two stingray bites on his feet. So the tribe wants to take care of him, but then they proceed to freak out like on Tarzan when he's trying to wash his dirty underwear in the drinking pot. His big old, he's got his feet in the drinking water container, and they're dumping boiling water on him and trying to make him feel better, and then he flips his foot over, and everyone's like, is that the bite? And he's like, no, that's my planter's wart. And that, like,
what?
Set off the tribe.
This huge planter's wart. Oh, my gosh. It was so disgusting.
There is a lot worse things that goes into that boiling pot than stinky feet. I mean, if you're out there for 39 days, you're going to be boiling every article of clothing that's never been washed, and people's underwear and everything goes in that single pot. And as long as you boil it, you know, it's all clean. So
underwear?
It's early in the game.
Sure.
You have to boil everything. They will tell you you're beginning to start to knock the medical staff down when you walk in a tent. You need to start boiling your clothes.
Okay.
And
hey,
that was an issue on several seasons, Sherry. Don't you remember the infamous Tarzan and his dirt on his underwear right by his butt? It's just
Oh, yeah, but I remember that quite well, but I don't recall them boiling them in the drinking water pot.
You don't have that many pots to boil them in.
But wait,
I want to remind, we do have another person that's listening on the switchboard, and I need to remind, because Blog Talk doesn't say it anymore, that if you want to join us on air, make sure you push 1 on your telephone that will indicate that you want to join us. So just want to make that announcement.
One thing where they're, hopefully they jump in, this mysterious person that's listening, Haley, I finally, she did enough confessionals in a row or something, but I found her voice is extremely annoying this episode. I don't know if anyone else heard that or caught that. She was whining about the planter's wart and how selfish Max was, and it was just one of the more annoying things I've heard the first 5 weeks of the season. Did anyone
not
else catch that, or was that the only one?
Not as much as Mike's. Mike seems like he's been at a football game for the last 42 days straight in a row. I mean,
he's got the horse's voice.
Yeah.
I don't even smoke it.
It seems like when he's in a confessional, he's got to scream at the top of his lungs even to be heard. So,
yeah,
Haley's, I guess, just going on about the planter's wart and putting her foot was just one of those that go, look, you know, just wait till you're there for about, well, of course, I wasn't there that long, but, you know, you didn't expect to have clean conditions when you went out there. Boiling water, stop complaining about it. So,
yeah.
For sure. And then in the chronology of all this, this is when actually after that happens, was when Dan tries to go do his apology to Sierra, and it was I wrote in almost half a sheet of paper on my notes, worst apology ever.
Yeah.
So he's sucking it up, but then they go to the challenge, and Blue Collar dominates in a challenge that I think we first saw in Survivor Philippines, that cool collect your pots and smash them.
Yeah.
As they always do, they show production, you know, doing a practice round. And when those pots broke open, I thought, popcorn?
That's the first thing I thought. Popcorn?
Do you think they would have let him pocket that after the show, or they weren't paying attention, or would production have said, keep walking, Jack?
I think when they got ready to do it, they did something different other than popcorn
okay.
to make those heavier. Because
like
when
actual
they were lifting
kernel
those,
corn?
Or they look like a type of bean is what they look like to me. But
oh,
if they would have made
okay.
Because it looked like when some of those guys were lifting those pots around, they took a little bit of effort to lift those pots up and down.
Okay.
So just a clay pot wouldn't have been that heavy. So they might have been filled with something else to give them some weight to make a little bit more of a challenge on that sled as they pushed them through the mud.
But it was nice to see the other super fan, Dan, put his foot in his mouth, but then at the challenge, totally dominate. He was the busting those pots like crazy.
Yeah,
like
two on a shot. That.
All right.
Yeah.
And did I miss it? Or here we have a tribe full of women, but will that even pull one of the sleds?
I don't think they couldn't have sat him out because they were even at 7-7. I don't remember what happened with Will.
I don't think Will pulled one sled, and even though he sucked at challenges, he probably does have a little more power behind him to pull those things, and I thought, why
mm-hmm.
aren't they using him? I don't think it would have mattered. I think they still would have lost.
They just
maybe
might
it
not
was
have
the pot breaker like Dan, maybe. I don't know.
Hey, area code 708, if you didn't hear me before, please press 1 on your phone if you want to join us on the air.
Yeah, they didn't show Will, so he might have been the designated pot breaker.
That might be what he was doing because Dan didn't pull a sled either. I don't
know.
Oh,
Dan didn't.
Okay. That would make sense. They never it was over before they got to the pots. Yep,
yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, that's what I thought, yeah.
That could be why. I'm checking my phone for who that could be, and I don't know who 708 is. There was a survivor that wanted to call in and ask Dale a question, but I don't. Her area code's a different one. I haven't seen her come through yet. So,
all right, bud.
Well, we have one more. White collar, the new red collar has to go to tribal council, and you know Max gets the old heave ho. They had these animal shots are pretty famous on Survivor, but they had one of the weirdest ones. I don't know if anyone saw this. There was a lizard covered with worms
God.
Or bugs, and I was like, what the
centipede.
Hell is this?
There
centipede,
was
yeah.
Centipede.
It was centipedes yeah. on an iguana.
Yeah.
Sorry, bugs on a lizard. Yeah, there were centipedes on an iguana, and it was crazy.
It looked fake until the lizard started blinking his eye, and you go, okay, that's one weird lizard.
And wasn't there a possum or something that we saw in one of during the
yeah,
episode.
I think it was this episode when Dan went to apologize to Sierra. They showed the big old yellow possum like walking around. I guess that's his spirit animal.
I know. Hey,
who's the lizard then? Who's the iguana, Max? Maybe or I don't know.
I don't know. But don't forget that when they lost that challenge, and I didn't think anything of it at the time because I didn't know who they were going to be targeting, but. How Max walked away from losing that challenge and said how happy he was.
I really want to go to tribal council. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Come
That's
on,
the
Max.
First
like,
thing. On my piece of paper, I put the same thing. You never are happy to go to tribal because unless you've got your knapsack stuffed with idols,
yep.
nothing ever good that happens at tribal. It's there's too many unpredictable things that can happen, and you know you try and throw a challenge, you do this and this. Tribal going to tribal number one is stressful, and
yep.
nothing ever going to happen there.
And then Jeff
what
didn't think it was too funny when he interrupted Jeff to play like he had
yeah.
something in his pack, and you know he said just a minute, sir, you know, and tried to play like he was going to pull out an idol, and then he told Jeff, I just always wanted to say that.
Yeah, and Jeff took great delight in snuffing his torch out. And the reason, to speak to the editing, the reason they showed Max interrupting Jeff was to show Jeff snuffing out his torch.
Yep.
Who was it earlier?
That was an editor's payback.
in one of the challenges in this double episode that called him JP. That wasn't Max 2, was it?
No, that was. I think that was Tyler.
I think that was Tyler, maybe, or somebody else.
I think
else.
Tyler
oh,
did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, who the hell's JP?
Yeah, he called him JP. But,
and then Jeff had a great one-liner when Shireen was saying he was giving her a weird look, and it was something I didn't expect Jeff to say. He's like, maybe it's the Botox not working, because people make fun of him about that. And I was like, I couldn't believe he said that, because it's evident, but I was just like, wow. Jeff's putting
it
on
there. I can't remember the comment that Shireen made or something like that, but it was just an off-the-wall comment that kind of caught him off guard or something.
You know, she said you look annoyed at us, and he was like, I always look upset at Tribal Council. It must be a Botox. Going to Tribal Council, how is it different than what we see? What are some things that are different that the fans don't get to see?
That's the scary part of it is, Tribal Council looks exactly like you see it on TV.
Okay, so it looks the same. Time-wise, it's not 8 minutes, though, is it? It's not nine minutes.
You could be there an hour and a half to 2 hours sometimes.
That's what I've heard.
But when you walk in, it's not like you see anybody from production. When you walk in there, you see Jeff. That's the only person you see.
Okay.
You might see some shadows, but, I mean, it is the first time you walk in there, you got a cold sweat running down the back of your neck and your hair standing on end because you go, oh, my gosh, this is real. And it's
for real.
The flames going, it's exactly like it is, and it brings up the tension level. You can just feel it move off the chart when you walk in there that first time. And the first time, nobody's afraid. You don't look left, right, up, down. You're afraid to breathe because you just realize, okay, this is it. Somebody's going home. And
isn't it amplified by, just to clarify, when you leave camp and leave the tribe flag, aren't you guys on a gag order until, like, Jeff asks the first question? Like, you have to just kind of sit there and you can't communicate because there's no, like, cameras with your sound.
Yeah. I mean, so that's the first time you get to talk is when Jeff says, welcome to tribal.
And you've been, what kind of timetable is that trying to even get there? Because it's got to take a while to get to tribal.
I guess each season is quite a bit different, so it can vary. But they time it. Just travel, the walking to get from your beach to the tribal. Then they got to wait for the sun to go down because everything happens after dark. And,
all right.
Okay.
And Dale, at what point do they tell you where to sit? Because they always are grouped.
I was
going to
ask that same thing, Paul.
Whoa.
As you walk in, they line you up according to how they want you to sit that night.
Okay, cool.
So, and that's, it changes, but it's usually, to start with, they usually go by height. I mean, that's,
really?
When you're leaving camp, so somebody's not, on Kaiopa, whenever we left, Baylor led everyone because she was the shortest.
Okay.
So that way, and Rocker was always in the back. That way, the big guy's not blocking everybody's view of everybody's walking down the beach.
So Rodney will go in the front and Sierra in the back. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting
that
Rodney and Lindsay were sitting next to each other.
Yeah. And like I say, you notice they change them up each time. They change them up each time how they sit.
Mix it up and go. Is there somebody else on or?
No, I was just going to ask another behind-the-scenes question, but go ahead.
Oh, I was going to mention that I had heard, was it Jane a week ago or somebody maybe last season mentioned that there's no votes in the urn? Because I would be one to look in there and see how many people voted for me, but I guess when you vote, there's no vote, just the vote you put in.
It's cleaned out so you can't see.
Yeah, that's what I had heard. Okay. That makes sense.
Okay.
That's smart, but...
And my question was going to be, when you leave tribal, do you have to snuff out your torches? Because they're always out when you ride back at camp, I've noticed.
Yeah, you go back to camp with your torches, and they're snuffed out. The torches have kerosene in them.
Oh.
And if you was to take that back, that'd be a great fire starting tool.
Exactly.
So no kerosene at camp. Well, moving forward, what are your predictions for the rest of the season, or maybe the next couple of weeks, Dale? Do you have any thoughts on it? Who are you leaning towards still, or who do you want to see go?
You know, I like Dan, I like Mike, and Sierra. I was going to stay away from Kelly because I don't want to be partial to the Kelly name, even though the blue collar is my favorite tribe.
Okay.
I was going to stay away from Kelly because I didn't want to seem partial picking somebody out after my daughter's name. But now Dan has kind of got me a little bit nervous because he's managed to piss off everybody. Mike, he's still got some good points. He can really go far. But Carolyn and Jim from the no caller, she's starting to play a decent game. But the guy that really impresses me, that if I had to put my money on anybody right now, I'd go with Tyler.
That's a good one. I would agree. He's getting a great, you know, under the radar edit. We're not seeing way too much of him. He's not bombastic or.
He did an extremely smart move when Carolyn told him about the idol. He didn't tell anybody. He automatically bought her trust because you can trust me. He told me the idol on the first day, and I haven't told anybody. So he's automatically bought her vote on the white collar tribe. His comment last night, give me your poor huddled masses and stuff. It's bringing it in. He's not antagonizing anybody to speak of. And now he's on the power tribe because he's on the blue tribe. And I think you're going to start seeing some destruction from within in the blue. And he might be able to slide under the water and make, or under the bridge and make the merge.
Mm-hmm.
And once he makes the merge, if Carolyn makes it, he's got to vote on the other tribe now. He's got her trust. So, he's got a way of making friends, so I think he's that would be the guy who really surprised me from his pregame bio and that sort of stuff. I wasn't that impressed.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I'm curious how the tribes are going to link up at the merge from their original groupings. Who's going to get decimated first? And I don't even know. I don't even have a prediction. It's just going to be. It's going to be crazy because it's going to be a pretty balanced, it should be a pretty balanced numbers thing at the merge with your original tribe.
And also as far as the guys and girls, because the tribes are pretty balanced now, it's almost like the guys against the girls war.
Yeah.
So it's not going to take too much to too many more votes. And what, they're 15 now, 14 now? So two or three more tribals?
Yeah.
Because they'll either go at 12 or 11.
Something like that.
They're at 13 now.
Oh, so if they're going to have three, they put nine on the jury, they could go two more. So the merge is happening within 2 weeks.
I would agree, most likely.
And that would give them the requisite 3 and 9. And you could have a pretty good boy-girl split right down the middle come to tribal. Actually, the guys would dominate, I think. Because I think the girls are going to go quicker on the red tribe.
I would agree.
How predictable was it when they merged? I thought immediately Rodney and Joaquin are going to become best buds because they both have the same kind of personality.
They're both black.
They're both blocking. They're both meatheads, and they're both going to do chest bumps each time they vote somebody off, going, bro.
Each time they think they have a bright idea.
Yeah.
I have a question
for
you guys.
There's a lot of interesting twosomes,
Have you guys been watching what's happened over in Vanuatu?
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
and
that would be definitely good to give them a shout-out.
Yeah.
Yes, it's just broken my heart to see what's happened over there, and I was wondering if you guys think that, you know, anybody from CBS or Survivor or anybody affiliated will offer any assistance over there since they've, you know, actually spent so much time over there and, you know, done a show there. I know they get
different seasons have done a couple besides that.
Let me
ask
a follow-up to that. I'm so glad you brought that up, Cherry. I had a follow-up that I didn't have an answer to. So many times Survivor goes back to the same locations like San Juan del Sur, but have they done a second Vanuatu, or was it just the one time? Do you guys know?
Not in the U.S. version.
It's the one time.
And that's the one that Chris
won. International
won.
Versions, I think, didn't they? Maybe.
Oh, I don't keep up with international versions.
The U.S. version has only been to Vanuatu
once.
And one of the things that surprised me is those are the also right were called the Pentecost Islands, and that's where bungee jumping originated. And I was expecting to see a bungee jumping type challenge, but I guess CBS Legal said no way.
Yeah, probably not. Or at least a reward.
Yeah.
The biggest thing I've seen
but
is
do you guys think that they will offer any assistance? Go ahead.
I hope Mark would. I hope. What do you think, Dale? Do you think they'll be able to do anything or go back maybe?
I know they announced that they only do 1 year in advance, so I know what they've released for seasons 31, 32, but you never know. There's so much that goes into it, talking a little bit to the guys how many years in advance and what it takes to do it. They got it, you know, the political stability in the country and everything else that goes into it. It's not a small move when they pick out a country. So
that infrastructure
no, today's
stuff
political
alone.
Climate, it has
yeah.
to be a very serious decision. I mean,
yeah,
there's so much
it's
going
amazing
on
that
in today's
they went
world.
So, they went. It's amazing they went so long switching locations twice a year until Samoa. Well, they did it for all Pearl Islands and All-Stars, but they started big time in Samoa. I just can't believe they took 400 staff in production and moved them so much all over the world. And, I mean, it makes a lot of sense financially why the show's still around to not do that anymore. It's kind of boring
yeah.
seeing the same place back-to-back, but
all right,
I don't
so,
know. I wish
we've seen them in the Pacific quite, you know, almost exclusively nowadays. Do you think they'll ever go back to, like, Australia or Africa or some other
I would hope.
You would think Australia would be the easiest location for them.
Because a lot of their staff is from Australia.
Right. And
that
Australia,
is true, yeah. Jesse and, yeah.
It's not a war-torn nation. It's great, good weather. You'd figure they would go back.
A lot of it comes to not only the political climate, but the licensing fees and what they're going to charge. Because there's never been a season in Europe, but it would just cost way too much to shoot it, you know, anywhere
yeah.
in the Mediterranean. There's no way. I would hope. I like it when they go to anywhere in the continent in Asia, South America. Or Africa, as long as there's enough water. I love Africa is my favorite season, but you got to give the castaways and the viewers, you know,
yeah.
some little bit of a tropical part because it's just not fun to watch people sitting in a dust pile.
And also, it's got to be one of those where it's got to be remote enough that you can lock
yep.
it down for a huge, huge area. I mean,
yeah,
that's
for
right.
Sure.
By the time you lock down like this one is. Five or six beaches they've got because they've got three tribes, which is on a
yep.
separate beach. Then they have two different challenge beaches they do, plus a water
yep.
beach. So there's the challenge arena. So there's when you look at the landmass they got to occupy, they got to really secure it for a lot of people, and so it's got to be tremendously remote too.
Right.
So that makes it tough. Well, I would keep Vanuatu in our. Whatever your religious persuasion, but I'm going to keep them in my thoughts and prayers because, you know, San Juan del Sur was a great cast, but overall my favorite Survivor is Lex and my favorite cast, just how much charity events they do and the personal relationship I have is that Vanuatu cast. They're just an amazing bunch of people. So
they are.
And they all know the people
they
there.
Are.
There.
Yeah, we've had a couple of seasons with Bubba on our show, and he told us so much about his experience there. And then we did have the winner.
Chris,
I've been able to hang out with Chris on a couple of occasions for the weekend, and
but, yeah,
he and Lori
do
are just
lot.
Two most amazing people. I mean, I
they
absolutely adore Chris and Lori. I just think they are wonderful people. And
And they live an hour from me in Ohio, so OHIO, they're great people.
Yeah, they went to the charity event that Mary and David Conley do in Kentucky, and it's for autism, for children's autism. And Rich and I, my husband and I, were able to go 2 years in a row, and we were just able to hang out with them for the entire weekend, and it was so much fun. And at that event, Mary and David put you up in the same hotel that the jockeys stay in for the Kentucky Derby. It is like the most beautiful hotel I think I've ever stayed in my life. I mean, you stay in a suite, not just a hotel room. It's a suite. And it's this beautiful hotel. And it's just one of the most fun events. And we had so much fun both times we went. I hope that they pick it back up and start doing it again. They skipped this year. And I hope they start doing it again. It's a lot of fun. And it raises a lot of money for children's autism.
A good cause.
Yeah.
For sure.
So
I
really
don't
hope they do it again.
End our show, Dale, without asking you how's Kelly doing?
She's doing very good. So recovered from not getting Miss Survivor, and she's still a super fan of the show, so she's doing great.
She was my vote, but I only have one, so.
I think I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask for you, and then I'm pretty sure you would be able to answer for Kelly as well. Would you and or Kelly do Survivor again if you were asked?
If the phone rang now, I could have my bags packed for a flight tomorrow.
Awesome.
That's great.
So, and I know Kelly would do the same thing. We might not do it together again.
It would be great to see you back on.
Do you guys
It would be great to see both of you back on.
Do you guys get on the phone and recap the current seasons at all? Or?
Oh, yeah, we text back and forth, and much to my wife's annoyance. I mean, once you're in the little Survivor group, you never get away. So.
Well, great. Well, Dale, I appreciate your coming on the show. It was an amazing time, and you're more than welcome to – scheduling permit ever come back and talk some more. We'd love to have you.
I enjoyed it, Mike, and unfortunately talking Survivor's now got to be one of my third obsessions, so
I appreciate you.
You've got the number to the show. Just pick up the phone on Thursday nights and call in. We can chat Survivor with us here.
So
you can call
in
any time.
Thank you guys for having me.
You've got an open invitation.
Thank
you,
sir.
Thank you. You betcha.
Bye.
Bye.
Awesome. Well, Tony, we appreciate your time here as well.
Of course. I want to do it again, so I'll be back next Thursday.
And to give a shout-out for that before the promo for the other shows on the network, Kelly Shin from Survivor Nicaragua, Purple Kelly, will be in the house, or in her house, and calling into the show next week. So get ready for that.
Awesome.
Purple Kelly! Yay!
And possibly someone else from Nicaragua. I'm trying to get some kind of a tandem deal. We'll see who else from Nicaragua could show up. There's several candidates, and I'm reaching out to try to confirm another guest just to share that Nicaragua love.
Awesome. That's going to be fun.
And Mike, let me know if there's anybody else, any of the other survivors that I can reach out to as well.
For sure. I'll get you a want list. And I've also reached out to Cass. We just haven't figured out a time. I was really waiting for Spencer to get back in the country and try to do a Spencer-Cass show, because I think the tension there would be amazing. But we'll see if that can happen. I don't know if their attorneys will agree to it. We'll see.
If Spencer comes on your show, I promise to behave.
That would be great, and I will bury any hatchets that may or may not be there. So.
Right. All right. Well, y'all have a good night, and thanks again. I have a great time speaking with y'all.
Well, thank you.
We enjoy
y'all take it.
Take
it easy.
Have a great weekend, Tony.
Y'all too.
Bye. Thank you, hon. Wow, what a show tonight. Thanks so much, Big Mike. It's been fun.
It was great Survivor talk and a great cast member. And I don't kiss butts. I like all the people that play the show, but I really, really like Dale and Kelly. And it was great to meet them. They were the second and third people from the cast I met from that last finale, and they're just some of my favorite people. So.
Yeah, he seems like a really sweet guy. You know, really laid back and down to earth and kind of people that it would be really hard not to like.
He puts his buff on one leg at a time, so.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's been great, hearing his perspective of Survivor tonight and some of his stories. And it'd be fun to have him back again, hear some of his stories from his season. We didn't get to cover a whole lot of that tonight, but maybe he'll come back again and we'll dig a little deeper. And,
I'm looking forward to adding another Nicaragua person. I was just looking at the list, Jerry, from that season, and we've had a number of them on our show before, but never have had Purple Kelly from my memory. But
I don't think we've had Lindsay.
We've had Chase Rice on, obviously. We've had Holly Hoffman. We've had Nayaka on several times. I'm trying to remember if Jimmy Key was on. Maybe we just talked about him a lot, but.
I think, wasn't he on when Ron was still with us?
I'm thinking that he may have come on with Jillian at one point, or she talked about him a lot, but no, I'm looking at it. It's a pretty good cast there. So
if you could send me the list of all, if it's available, who's all been on, and I'll try to focus on new folks, and also can rekindle folks that have done it. Then I'll be like, hey, you want to do the show again since they're familiar? If that's available, that'd be great.
All right, we'll try to jog our memories between Cherry and myself.
Okay.
Well, I think. It's about time to wrap this one up.
Yeah, it is. One thing we probably should mention, as if people that listen to this don't already know, we're just, 4 days away from another Big Brother Canada season starting, and they already have started putting out videos of the cast. I haven't had a chance to look at them all yet, but that's coming up soon again.
Yes, and
Monday.
You'll need a VPN to watch the live feeds. So get busy, folks. Want to remind everybody to join us on Monday for the Manic Monday Show with Michelle Costa from Big Brother Season 10, and that show is at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. Don't know who her guest will be this Monday, but she always has amazing guests, and. She had to miss last week, but she'll be back with us this week. And I think that's about it for tonight. I am glad that we did cover Vanuatu. I will be keeping them in our thoughts and prayer, in my thoughts and prayers as well. It's just heartbreaking to see the damage and destruction that's happened over there. And, knowing that Survivor was there and did such an amazing show, a season over there. I hope that they are able to help in some way spread a little love over there after what's happened over there. So, Big Mike, thank you so much for being our host of Mike on the Mic and bringing on some wonderful guests to talk about Survivor Worlds Apart. And I can't wait for next week with Purple Kelly.
It'll be great. I'm going to dye my hair and everything. It'll be awesome.
All right.
Hey, Jerry, one other thing. You mentioned to me that you were busy checking out somebody that we all know from Big Brother that does videos and stuff. Is that something you want to bring up or no?
I do have it posted on my Facebook page. I'm going to share it on the group page as well. One of our dear, dear friends of this show, we all know Quirky Dude. He needs our help. And he has a GoFundMe page. And the Rad Reality Show is known for the love and support that we have amongst our Rad Reality family. And I just want to encourage everyone to check out Quirky Dude's GoFundMe page. Read his story. I'm not going to explain his story myself. It's his story to tell. But I am going to encourage you to go and read it. And please do what you can for Quirky Dude, because he's done so much for all of us. And
absolutely,
we need to give back now.
I will check that out myself. I didn't know anything about it until we got on the phone shortly before the show tonight. So I thought you might want to make that announcement.
He has done so much for all the Big Brother fans out here, and he's been there for as long as I can remember. Quirky Dude has been around, and he has done just countless things for us. And he really needs the support from his friends and family now. So please go and read that. Thanks for reminding me, Paul. And we're going to wrap this one up. We're going to play Ron to close the show as we always do. Again, Mike, thank you so much for everything you do. And I hope you have a wonderful weekend, babe.
My pleasure, and I'm enjoying this immensely.
Well, looking forward to having you back next week. We'll talk to you then. Here's Ron to take us away.
I want to finish off the show with a little music and say to all of my listeners, thank you guys, and thank you all for coming in. God bless you, and thank you for listening to the show. And it was a great one.
It was a great one, and we thank you for it, Big Mike. Everybody have a great weekend. We love all of our Rad Reality family out there. Thank you for listening and supporting our show. And Quirky Dude, we love you, babe. That's a wrap. Say goodnight, guys.
Good night.
Night.
Good night, everybody. God bless, and be kind to each other.